Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast was recorded before the COVID-19 emergency and before social distancing measures were in place. Please stay home and stay safe.
Well, I always feel bad because people say to me, where are you from? And I say, Northampton. And they just imagine everyone in Northampton talks like me, that there's a town where you go, everyone's like, hello! Even the mayor's like, welcome to Northampton! But my voice, I said, is a bit different to everyone else's.
Postcards from the Edge. Hey guys, Ida Williams here, and welcome to Postcards from the Edge, a podcast where every week I'll be having some amazing guests on, usually joined by my mom, Gwen, and my small-time first husband, Robbie Williams. He's a bit of a limelight stealer, so I will try and keep him to a minimum for you and for me. Every episode, we'll be chatting about our Anglo-American differences, which are huge now that I am an LA girl living in the United Kingdom, with a good bit of gossip thrown in as well. This week, my guest is Alan Carr, chatty man, author, and all-round funny guy. Alan and his amazing husband, Paul, joined me, Gwen, and Rob for a spot of afternoon tea. Woohoo! How very British. To chat American TV versus British TV and a whole lot of other stuff in between. One quick note. This episode is a bit rude and crude, with a few naughty words thrown in, so definitely not family-friendly listening. Sorry, kids. Postcards from the Edge. Okay, so here's the deal. The reason I wanted to do this podcast was because I now live in the United Kingdom, thanks to my beautiful British husband.
Yes.
But obviously hail from the land of the Americas, from Beverly Hills specifically. And I find there are a lot of, not only things I have to learn, but just cultural differences that always take me by surprise. So there was... So it started, we can't remember which started first, but we were watching, we came in, we'd been gone from the UK for several months, and we decided to put the telly on. Have you seen this program? I'm sure you have, but Naked Attraction.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so I was sat there like an unsuspecting victim, and I was in bed, and there was a churchgoer named Judith.
I've seen that one.
Right? Yeah. Where she talks about the clotted cream in her pussy?
No. What? No. What? I thought it was like, oh, I love toes.
Yes, she likes a toe in her pussy.
I love toe of me pussy.
And then she likes to root around in the pubes. Really root around.
I know.
Do you know the weird thing? There's lots of weird things about Naked Attraction. But I know it wouldn't and it couldn't exist in America. And in a strange way, I sit there watching it, feeling very proud of Britain. Yeah. Attraction is on.
But it's one of those things. It's like no one says they watch it, but everyone watches it.
I mean, how can you not? We series linked it.
Perverts.
We were like, come on, kids, get in the bed, watch some TV with mommy and daddy.
But these people have to go to work.
Oh, well, that was what was so surprising.
And she's gonna go to church.
She's gonna go to church because I didn't know what was gonna happen because she's, you know, they intro with the background verse and she's, I'm Judith and I love my church and da da. They see her prancing around and singing. I'm thinking, oh, where's this gonna go? I did not think it was gonna go there.
No.
How's she gonna go back to the church?
Knowing everybody's seen her in her birthday.
Well, and she's saying some pretty crude things.
I mean,
too,
you know,
like
Like, how do you go back to that?
I know, I like a bit of smut, but I found when she said, oh, look, the toes near me pussy. And I thought with a Brummy accent, you can sort of get away with saying dirtier things, but they can't sound quite sweet. You know, you've had an old toe near me pussy. You do have to say that on Radio 2 and no one would batter an eyelid, but when you suddenly go, oh, wait a minute.
Literally, every sitcom I've done, no matter what time, it you cannot say, it's such a puritanical...
Just
you know,
to explain to our outside of North America, because there's like two people in North America listening right now.
They've been brushed
one. In America, when you've got like nudity on the television,
we don't.
That's what I'm saying. Even if it's like a builder's crack, and he's bent down and there's a belt on, but like a bit of his crack is showing, they blur that bit out. Why is that about your people and your puritanical ways?
And why do you make it? It's always, oh, stuffy Brits. And you're like, we are not stuffy. You go out on a Friday, Saturday night, there is nothing stuffier. But where does that come from? It's nice that people think we are all top hat and cane.
But you know what? It was really funny, actually, because I was going through...
Well, top hat and cane and nothing else.
And nothing else. That's why she's moved also. I remember sitting with you 2007, seeing like Dove ads with a nipple going, nipple. You know, like there's no breasts, there's no vaginas, they don't exist in America. I think it comes from, I mean, it's got to be like something related to Christianity or the pilgrims.
Well, let's go back to the Mayflower.
How was it on that trip?
Yeah,
was it bumpy?
Well, I had a little seasickness. But the most extreme religious people of this country left and created a colony in North America. So that extremism comes from here, but it flourished over there.
So you're saying all the religious people were there and everyone left here was feral?
Yeah.
Is it a bit like when your mum and dad go out and then they leave you with a babysitter and you're like,
The convicts.
Tits, fanny, fanny, fanny.
I think that is what happened. You know, like Australia got the prisoners.
That's
you guys are like the feral teenagers. Boobies, boobies, boobies.
Hey, a weird thing that we as Brits do, which I only realised when I'd got a feet under the table.
I like how you keep describing it as my feet under the table.
The relationship carried on in earnest.
In earnest, bastard.
I'm so romantic. Is, you know, the thing that we do, and you probably won't even know that you do it, but it is a thing. When you say to your better half a lovely thing about them, and then you instantly wipe it away by saying something like, you're really lovely, you are, and thoughtful, you twat.
Yes, yeah.
Do you know that's weird?
It's very rare we say anything nice to each
other. Is it? So do you guys kind of like pay compliments in the negative way, kind of?
We have a jokey thing going on, don't we? But we always know it's a joke. We're all
do we, Paul?
Shut up.
Do we?
You know, we have things like that. You know, he calls me chunky and that. And if I walk down the corridor, he'll play a tuba behind me.
No. I sort of noticed Ida's face when I used to do the British thing of give a compliment and then take it away. Mm. And she was like, you know, her face would fill with all of this love and sort of gratitude for the nice thing that I'd said. And then I compliment that with the thing that takes it away because I'm British. And then just saw her face sort of like drop. And was like, what is she? I'm just doing the banter thing. And she was like, you know that when you do the thing and then you do the thing, it's like an hour.
It takes it away. It was like...
But you give as good as you get now, don't you?
Oh, now I give as good as I get. Now I've learned. But
I stopped doing it, though.
Wait, on my birthday cake, he wrote, you're officially the oldest woman I've ever had sex with.
Were we with that, weren't we?
Yeah.
It was a big cake.
It's a big cake. Well, for a big old loose vagina.
So what we're talking about, okay, differences between...
Well, yeah, and then we were watching this program. Have you guys seen it? It was like, I can't remember if it was called like the best of the 80s or what happened in the 80s or British TV. And it was like, I saw clips of, there was a program where there were naked topless ballerinas throwing darts. Do you guys know this program?
Can you remember Naked Dolls on live TV?
That was Channel 5.
With the ballerinas, the topless ballerinas.
That was topless darts on Channel 5.
But see, what is that? Topless darts.
Naked weather.
Naked weather. And then there was... But also, this is the thing, and then kids watching this will not understand. Before the internet, there was a show called Eurotrash. Now it was had sex Olympics. It was like naked. Like,
I watched some episodes.
You watched some episodes.
She was on some episodes.
They streamed it on the Mayflower.
You couldn't recognize it because of the mask.
No, but that was our only time you ever saw a willy or was on Eurotrash. And you'd go on a Friday night, you'd go, I'm off to bed now. I'd go upstairs, you'd have the volume down. That's why my hearing is so good. I'm like a bat. And you'd watch willies and tits.
I saw Mr. Methane Man.
Oh, the one who farts the national anthem.
Wait,
oh,
what?
Yes.
Wait, what's Mr. Methane Man?
He was one of the characters on Eurotrash. And his claim to fame is he can suck in air and just fart whenever he wants to.
That's like you,
babe. I've seen Mr. Methane live.
What?
What's he like in person?
What's he?
He's a bit
full of himself?
No, this was in Stoke in 1990. Mr. Methane Man has been Mr. Methane Man for quite a while.
Does he have, like does he have fandom? Like, do people, like, stop him as Mr. Methane Man and go, like, Mr. Methane Man, I've been following you for years.
He wears a mask. You don't really,
oh, you don't see his face?
He's like Daft Punk. You don't know who he is in real life.
He's got a green superhero suit with a big yellow M on it.
For methane.
And he wears pants, and then he bends over on all fours, and you say a request, saying say your new
back
album,
for good.
Back for good, and then he goes,
stop it! Stop it!
Yeah, and then he does.
We gotta get him the Christmas album.
Tell up, Chuck. And that's what he does.
Are there any ever
his parents are so proud of him.
He puts
Mr. Methane Man, do we know?
Talcum powder in his bum so that when the air blows out, you see.
Ew! So you see, like, puffs of fart. Like when it's cold and you blow out and you can see your breath.
Yeah, but
do they
the
smell? I mean, is it something that you can be around?
I've only seen it on the telly, love.
Okay.
It wasn't on the Apple TVs where you get smells.
Rob was on Stoke on Trent with
it. It's not smell-o-vision yet.
No, not yet.
So I remember being in the kitchen because I used to...
Did you used to watch Eurotrash?
No, but I used to have this football team in America, and it was lots of Americans and Ali Bale. And I can remember one of them one day saying to me, what is it with TV in England, man? It's so shit. And my heckles came up, and it was like, yeah, I get there and we turn it on, and it's all just like shit compared to American TV.
Oh, no.
And I was like, itch. Yeah. And in my head, I was like, okay, look calm. And in my head, I was like, it is not. And then I went, hey, you know, we do some stuff better. And he went, like what? And I couldn't think of anything. And I went, period dramas. And this is like to a footballing lager sculling American student. I couldn't think of anything that was actually better than American TV. But
I think everything's better than American TV here.
Well, the thing is, we come here to talk about telly, and you've just gone for like Euro trash, naked attraction. It's Downton Abbey. It's Downton Abbey.
And are you trying to balance it out?
Game of Thrones.
El Dorado.
Oh,
you know about El Dorado?
How do you know about that? But when I was kind of like trying to figure out this English TV thing, I was like, okay, I'm gonna do some research and dig in. So I started to ask people what kind of shows were around when they were kids, and El Dorado came up, which seems to be kind of like EastEnders meets Benidorm. Would that be an description of some sort?
And the set apparently is still there.
No.
Yes, in south of Spain. Like, you can go there.
Can we go?
We should go.
Can we do a field trip? I would totally. Can we walk a white horse in the rancho and just do a thing like they're never going to take us back and just walk off?
No, I'd like to do a podcast about Durango.
We should do that. Can we do that?
I'm up for it.
Are you guys up for that?
I'm on the internet now booking tickets.
I'm so in.
I'm on EasyJet.
I'm literally. Oh, so are we. So right. Rob will be on
private. You're just easy out.
Easy,
Rob will be on private. We'll be on EasyJet. Yes, Robert.
You were on a soap in the States.
I was.
Have you watched many soaps in the UK?
Well, I've seen clips, and obviously on Loose Women we have to see clips because we get a lot of people from Coronation Street and EastEnders. I have to say one thing about English soaps versus US soaps is they're a lot less glamorous. Like in the US, everyone on the soaps is wealthy and beautiful and lives in mansions. I mean, they kill each other and they have affairs with each other and they, you know.
Extreme close-ups, though, on the
extreme,
American
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we don't have that.
Will they, won't they? Am I not? Is she, isn't she? You know, like those 10-minute pauses. But here they seem, for lack of a better word, and you guys, a bit more downtrodden. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, there's not people in East London who have to go to the laundrette still. I'm assuming. Maybe I've lost touch with reality.
You live in a bubble. I do. Breaks it.
No, but I mean, you know, they still go to the laundrette. I mean, I'm a bit like you on Chatty Man. I love historical things. I love Victor Leopold with art. Mm. I like that. But then I watch complete trash, like The Boy Whose Head Is a Bin.
Yeah.
The Girl with Five Legs.
Jogging in the Park with my giraffe.
So I have nothing in between.
Me too.
Like the soap.
Did you have a moment with EastEnders, though, at any time? Did you have a moment with EastEnders where it was like your thing?
Yeah, but then I think with soaps as well, their storylines, I mean, they do cover issues that's kind of relevant, but I think they've become so far-fetched and you just don't believe
them
anymore.
They're so broad. They're so like...
Okay, what about between Grand Designs and Property Brothers?
Where did you just come in from, Gwen? Who are you?
What's this? Property what?
Property Brothers.
I don't know.
Are you just doing a random, like...
No, I'm just thinking of...
No,
but I'm with you. I just
mentioned show names.
Okay.
No, I'm just thinking of genres that might... I mean,
what about Bewitched and...
What about Dogs versus Cats?
Oh, here we go.
No, but here's my thing. I'm like... I think we're exactly like you, Paul. Like you were saying on Chatty Man, is that... I like really highbrow stuff. I like really like highbrow. Like last night I was watching National Geographic about some island that sank called Port Royal.
Right.
You know, and I like really enjoy. And by the way, on another note, America, we don't have any educational programs. Mm. It's all like big American game shows and soap operas. But I you know, there seems to be like horticultural shows in the afternoon about gardening here and like historical, which I actually I actually really enjoy because I think it's kind of like when you're not really looking for something, there's like an educational element. So like last night I was thinking about Port Royal, but then I like switched to like some show with dicks on it. So it is like I can only watch.
But me and Paul, what we like, anything we're too fat for, I will watch.
Oh, I'm so in.
Too fat for love, too fat for exercise, too fat for work.
Too fat for work. Too fat to breathe.
Yeah, my pets are too fat too.
Yeah, I like a too fat show.
Anything that's got too fat too, we will watch.
Yes,
but going back to what you were saying is, do you think it's because England's such a small country, it's like a quarter, you know, like a tiny part of America, and there's so many different states in America that nothing
permeates through because it's so big.
From state
it is interesting.
State, do you know what I mean?
It's a really good point. Because like I've always wondered, like it's, I always think it's so fascinating too that like in America we have like three accents or four accents. But like in England, there's like 800 dialects. Like, I mean, you know, you go 1 mile and someone sounds completely different.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good point that like maybe because it's such a big country, it kind of like dilutes and there's no like room for specificity or something.
Well, when Cheryl went on to X Factor, nobody could understand what she was saying.
That's right.
She could suffer that Dory accent.
But let me ask you this. Yeah. When you're in the States, where do Americans think you're from?
Well, I always feel bad because people say to me, where are you from? And I say Northampton. And they just imagine everyone in Northampton talks like me, that there's a town where you go, everyone's like, hello! Even the mayor's like, welcome to Northampton! But my voice, I said, is a bit different to everyone else's.
But they just think we're British. But I do remember when I was a kid and you had like your northern accent, everyone, oh, you're a Geordie. Just because it was a northeast accent, but I'm from Sunderland, so I'm a Macon.
I never got people in America saying that... are you from England? It was either Irish or Australian. And one American one night got really angry with me and told me to knock it off. And I was like, knock what off? The accent. Oh, come on, you know. She like thought I was American putting on an accent. And I just wondered if Americans just think that if your English should speak like this.
I think Americans have, I mean, obviously now I've had much more exposure to the English culture, but I think all Americans think that all English accents are posh. Like, you could be...
They think you're in The Crown.
They think you're in The Crown. Yeah.
Because we were watching it the other night, and it was like, and I think Americans must think...
They do, I think...
Do you know, I got asked by an American once if I go off the island to shop.
Off
the island to shop, and the island being Great Britain.
By the way, it's slowly becoming actually more a fact now that it's going
to
be.
To go off the island to shop, what language do they speak in London? Londonese? And what was the other one? Do they have golf courses in Britain?
Can I just say you dated some trash before me?
Yes, I did.
But what show I that Etna loved? That Etna's very intelligent, our friend from America, but she introduced us to so many things. Dance Your Ass Off, about fat people dancing
all the weight off.
Yeah,
no, in America.
Mel B hosted it.
No,
yeah, it was great. It was right up. It's called Dance Your Ass Off.
Can we YouTube that, or can we? I mean, I guess for anyone watching, if anyone's watched Dance My Ass Off,
yeah, or been on it, can you please get
or been on it? If anyone's been on Dance My Ass Off and it's proved to be a life transformer, and you're now in a much smaller size because of Dance My Ass Off. Thank you.
So let me ask this question to the room: okay. As a child, your favorite American TV?
Shoulder Pads, Dallas, was it?
Oh, Dynasty.
I think being a gay
That was good.
It was all kind of glamorous and Crystal Carrington and big cars and lovely mansions. I always imagined myself living on a ranch with horses and shoulder pads.
I can get you some shoulder pads.
Can you?
I think
do it.
I remember watching Dynasty, but it was on a Friday night, but I remember my dad, because he was a football manager, he was very tense the night before, so he'd go up to bed early. So I remember Dynasty being on very quiet downstairs, but I remember wanting to be so rich and powerful, like Alexis Carrington. She had a row and she didn't like what was on the telly, and she threw a brick through the telly because she hated it. And I remember one day, Alan, you will be that successful. You just maybe watching a Naked Attraction. Just fucking brick at that cock.
Fuck it. Yeah. I don't like that size.
So you haven't done it yet.
No, I haven't.
We need to do it.
So my
they're so widescreen now, the brick will probably come back and hit me in the face.
My first sort of like televisual American experience was very young. I'd probably be about 3 or 4. And I can remember watching these few television programs and going, that's what I want to do. And it was Morecambe and Mindy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Happy Days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they must have been on at like 5 o'clock just before bed.
Yeah.
And it was Linda Carter. Now, Linda Carter is Wonder Woman.
Wait, isn't she Wonder Woman?
She was my first crush. Mm. So,
Same as me.
Oh, really? Really, really?
Really?
Yeah. That was her. And then I moved on to Face from A-Team.
He was a very good looking man.
But you know, my mum's maiden name was Carter, Christine Carter, and I always used to think, oh my God, I wonder if she was Linda Carter. And you know, it'd be weddings and christenings and you'd be there looking at the door.
Is she going to come?
And of course, dressed as Wonder Woman. Hi, Alan. You know, spinning around. But yeah.
Hold on. I'm getting to something.
What?
Right. As a kid, name your favourite English programme.
English programme?
English programme.
A Bagpuss.
No, not you, the Americans.
As a kid.
Oh, English.
I don't know if we got any
of your
things.
I don't think television existed when I was a kid anymore.
Well, yeah, first of all, she was lucky to have fire, so let's not...
No, honestly, I think it was, you know, 10 or 15 years after the war.
Yeah.
And people didn't have, it was just, you know, beginning. The BBC was a lot of news.
Okay, what's your favourite cave painting?
I'm actually trying to think, because like the first program I remember you showing me was Bullseye when we moved to the countryside with what's the old
Jim Bowen.
We watched that. I don't know why
his real name is Peter Williams. My dad's real name.
Is that why he's Pete Conway, your dad? Because Peter Williams was already
there was already a few Peter Williamses that existed, and the place that he works, they put everyone's last name next to Peter, and he went with Peter Conway. Did you ever think of changing your name?
No, why? And it's a bit boring. It's
autograph-wise,
it is boring, Alan Carr, because it's finished before you even start.
But it's at the top of the alphabet. It's kind of a...
Yeah, I always get, you know, if I do, like, charity things, I'm always top billing.
I wonder when that... Because in the 60s and the 70s, it was de rigueur to change your name and give yourself a more of a showbiz sort of moniker.
Alan Delacar.
Oh, Alan Delacar is great.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Alan Delacar.
Alan Delacar.
Oh, yes. That's so...
Is it too late? Can we do this podcast
Paul's,
again?
Yes, Alan Delacar.
Paul the Draycock.
I was going to say Paul de la Draycock.
So I'm in Take That, and our manager at the time sat us down And he gave us all of these things to say because he was scared of us being a manufactured group. Have you seen the Do What You Like?
Oh, I know, yes.
So he definitely avoided that.
He made us all tell these lies in interviews. And he made me tell a lie that I'd been in Brookside. Which, as it turns out, is easily verifiable.
But he also went,
and your name's not Robert anymore, it's Robin. So I've got a kind of a showbiz name. Because I'm not Robbie, I'm a Robert.
But your credits are Robert Williams, aren't they, when you write a song?
Yes, they are.
Oh, indeed. That's interesting. I actually did not know that fact.
Because Robbie gets on stage and then Robert goes home.
God, you are so deep.
You're so deep.
He's like the GC and Gemma Collins. There's two different people.
By the way, did you see that show?
What?
Heard the Gemma... The...
Binge watch.
Hey. Binge. I honestly feel like we just need a night in to watch these
shows. Do you see that bit where she smelled her own vagina
and then made
her makeup artist smell the bready...
Well, I bumped into her at an event and I said, Gemma, I said, I loved your show. What was it? Diva Forever. Diva Forever. And I said that and she went, oh, no, babes, I didn't know they were keeping it in. If I'd known that, I wouldn't have touched... me crack and name spell it. But you know, she's so down to, no, not down to, she's so like direct. She doesn't really give a shit, but she was like.
But yeah, I like that it was.
She's like Marmite, full of yeast. Yeah, but it's the thing
but
is.
You know, her mum's called Joan Collins.
Oh, wow.
No. So her now mom's when you mention Joan Collins,
you don't know whether you mean, you know.
The GC's mum or the Great Dam or so.
Oh, Dynasty, yeah.
Well, it's the thing is, yes, I get it. You know, it's not something that could have gone into the TV show. I get it. I've never stuck my finger in my arse and made my makeup artist smell it.
That's right, it was your hairstylist.
It's the fact that it was done.
Yes.
By the way, can I just qualify? I really enjoyed your show, GC. There you go. Just in case you're listening.
Also, but let me just... I loved it.
I've told so many people about it and I've watched it three times.
It was a binge watch for us too. And that's another note about American TV. Like, that's the shame about American TV because that's something that the GC actually would never make it to American TV and it wouldn't connect because it's like, I don't know what it is about the American sense of humor, but it's just... Because, like, GC's not even irony. I think it's just because it's so straightforward and so matter-of-fact and kind of, like, harsh in its kind of, like, here's my pussy and my bready vagina. And
she's
got
the American drive, but she's got the English sensibility. Exactly. The British sensibility. All right.
You know, but what I like is that a show like that can be here and people watch it, where it is a shame that it's, like, it's all a bit too safe in America. Like, you wouldn't have even, like... I think that's why shows like, because we all, that's my first introduction actually, before Jim Bowen was Big Brother, and it was the first season I ever watched was with Rob, and it was the Jade Goody season, where it all, with Shil Pachetti, where it all went, but like, a show like, and then of course we were addicted and we watched the show every year, but Big Brother for some reason has never been a huge, it was for like 2 years a success, but then like, nobody watches it, and now they're going to do Love Island, and I know it's not going to be as good as the one in England. I'm not sure if it's because Americans are already so self-aware about cameras and already like ready glossy.
Yeah. Well, that's what sort of what killed Big Brother towards the end. Yeah. Because people are like, oh yeah, I guess I've got my new single out, and they know it's all a bit knowing and one
software.
That's why it doesn't work.
There is a show that's travelled very well from the UK that's not a period drama, which is Fleabag. Oh, Fleabag is hugely successful in the US. Yeah. It won every award possible.
I just think that like everyone in America has like already got an Instagram following, and just like you know, like they're I feel like there's something like when you go, if you look at the news in England, like let's say a crime has happened or there's a story or whatever, the people that they're interviewing on camera, God bless them, are not like camera ready. They're not necessarily polished. Mm-hmm. You know, they're a bit rough around the edges. Yeah. Whereas, like, you go in America and there's, like, an armed robbery.
They've got their own makeup team.
They've got their own makeup team.
Do you know what Americans don't do that I think British people do? We create eccentrics and we create people off the wall.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. And that's our biggest export. Eccentrics. Mm-hmm. People who are... If you are normal and you've got the great smile and the... You won't... you'll do wonders in America. You will
exactly.
do that. But in England, we won't want you. But if you're a little bit fat, you got funny teeth, a funny voice. I don't know anyone like that, personally. But, you know, you saw, I would, in America, I would, people say, well, would you like to break America? They wouldn't have me. They'd be like, what the fuck?
They would just, you know, it's like, it's weird. Like, well, it's Rob, you know, like, didn't, I can say this gently, connect in America. But like, I think they don't get anything outside of the box. Like, it's a very strange, like, I even know, like, when I'm auditioning or I'm going to stuff in America, I had to be glossy and pretty and tan and clothes and skinny. Whereas like when I got to the UK and was going on auditions, my agent was like, you need to not blow dry your hair, no makeup, don't wear this sexy outfit, you know, like bring it down, which was like a very strange concept to me, to like rough it up.
Yeah. Yeah. We celebrate adversity. We celebrate anything that's
diversity.
Not... Diversity. What did I just say?
Adversity.
Oh, yeah, diversity. Yeah.
Adversity.
In EastEnders, we celebrate adversity.
So what did you say before, Gwen, about the...
Fleabag.
No,
Fleabag.
I was just saying it's a massive hit in the States. And
do you watch Fleabag?
We watch Fleabag. I loved it. Is she writing a new one?
I think she is. She did two seasons, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
She's working on the new James Bond one. That'd be interesting.
That's right.
That'll be good.
Postcards from the Edge. Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
What was your go-to moment in comedy when you were younger and went, yes, this is for me?
What would it be?
Put them on the
spot. Oh, well, like the first... I mean, I love the two Ronnies.
Yeah.
And I loved Morecambe and Wise. Yeah. And I loved Tommy Cooper. But then, you know, there's all of a sudden you're a teenager and something is yours and your brand of humour. And like the Monty Python lot were incredible too.
Yeah.
But like when I saw Vic and Bob for the first time, absolutely blew my mind. And I just went, this is mine. This is speaking to me. And I'm totally and still am a huge fan and invested. What made you laugh when you were a kid?
Victoria Wood.
Victoria Wood.
What's Victoria
and
Wood?
Spank me on the butt with a woman's wig.
Her writing's better. Everyone just mentions that. But you know, on a stand-up theme.
She's a comedian. She's observational comedy.
Victoria Wood.
Yeah. Have you ever noticed?
Mm.
Go on.
I want to see Victoria. See, I want to learn about these people. Like, you both said Victoria Wood at the same time.
Yeah.
She's an amazing writer. And again,
fantastic,
she just captures British observational comedy to a T.
Like a Seinfeld
That's
kind of.
Right, yeah.
I might be wrong about this, but I think she's the performer with the most BAFTAs. She can write serious, she can write really? Comedy, she can act. Mm. She's just brilliant.
But she's no longer here? Or
no, she no. Passed away. She died that year we lost everyone.
No, you know, the Wipeout year?
I mean, Prince.
Yeah. With Prince and George Michael?
Victoria Wood died the day before Prince.
No!
Until then, my two big... And then, you know, we had Alan Rickman, with David Bowie, Christmas Day.
That year was so fucked up. Shit. Wasn't that... There was like a break in the Matrix or
something. All these national trends. I didn't want to leave the house.
I looked at Rob and I was like, don't you fucking even try it. You're not walking out.
2016 was a vintage year for death.
It was awful.
It was really bad. What was happening? It was like the entertainment plague or something. It was a shit year, wasn't it? Everyone
was feeling a bit shit.
And do you know what? I have to say 2017 was a really shit year. The fact that George Michael died on Christmas ushered in like the darkest next year.
That was so
That's heavy.
Sad. Oh,
that was so heavy.
Let's take it back.
Okay, fine. Okay. You know what I was thinking?
No, I was going to say something.
If it's a silent film, it doesn't count, Gwen.
British TV that made you.
Yeah, I have an answer, but you go.
Okay, no, because before that, before Rob, before you met Rob, your mm-hmm. favorite British comedy show was Absolutely Fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a very. Yes. Actually, two shows.
And Little Britain.
Thank you for answering that for me, Gwen. I didn't actually want to have to talk. Absolutely Fabulous was my that because I was trying to think of an English show that came across the ponds that made it big in America. I related so much, unfortunately, to Safi. but it was literally like I felt, you know what it is about English TV, the few exposures I had with it before I met Rob was just like it was the first kind of comedy that resonated to me in that way where it took me to a very kind of deep whimsical place with my comedy, like just like you said, characters, extremes, you know, like eccentricities. There isn't that much of that in America, and it's not really something that's celebrated. And I remember when I saw Ab Fab, it being my life, my family, and it being every kind of thing I valued in comedy, and women who were incredibly funny as opposed to just beautiful. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
But you know, I think you mentioned Bullseye earlier. Well, you did. But I'm bringing it back.
Okay, I come to a taping.
Well, no, we've taped it.
Oh, you've already done it.
So I'm bringing back five shows and it's ITV Primetime. Yeah,
you've done this before.
No, these are all new. I've brought back them before once on Channel 4 and they didn't extend it. But this Bullseye, I had to go to this big ITV thing to tell all the advertisers, and there was all these Gemma Collins was there, and there was like Love Island people. And Kevin Liger, the head of ITV, said, just talk about Bullseye. And I went out there and said, okay, Bullseye's back, everyone. And I could just see these people. And I said, you know, we're still going, because you win a speedboat.
A speedboat?
Or your bus fare home.
Wait, on Bullseye, you win a speedboat?
You're throwing darts at the ball.
Yeah.
That's it. And you'd have a non-darts player you'd have a little practice before. Oh, no. They come on, there's people in the audience losing eyes.
No.
They are just throwing, they haven't got... And I'm telling these people in the audience about Bullseye, these young people are looking at me like I'm from another century. I'm like, and then you're throwing
welcome
down.
Welcome to my world.
I know.
Did it work?
Did it work? Did it connect?
Not with the audience, but I mean, the shows are great. And they'll be out
because
you
have like
spring.
A professional darts player that helps you out with like, you throw a few and then they help you out and throw a few.
Well, no, they've just got to get all the prizes round the board.
Oh, that's right.
Like that. And then your non-darts player, which is the tension bit, comes up. But you and me, if I knew I was going on telly on a Saturday, I would practice like
24 hours a day.
These people, they got the end of the dart the wrong way. They were missing the board.
But by the way, that's another thing.
Dave Spikey did it for a little while, didn't he?
Wait, that's something I noticed about UK television versus British television, is that like the prizes in the UK are so shit compared to like we would watch like in Deal or No Deal, like in America where Meghan Markle used to open the briefcases,
I didn't know that's a fact.
But it would be like $1 million that you could win every episode, whereas when I watched Deal or No Deal over here with the blonde guy, what's his name, it was like people winning like £1,000 or like £8,000 if it went well, and it was like £8,000, and I just was like, oh god, it's yeah. And then even like a Wheel of Fortune, what was that? Oh, Bullseye, they give you like a cracker and a vacuum.
Whereas, little known fact about me, I was on a show called Bullseye in the U.S., which was a game show. And I won a lot of manure.
You won manure?
What do you mean manure?
Hold on.
Like actual manure?
Yes. It was like some fertilizer grow.
Was this because this was after the Mayflower and they were just trying to settle the community?
But I won $5,000 too. I mean,
in 1902, that's a huge amount of money.
Talk us through this.
It was when Ida was a baby.
Yeah.
And her grandparents from Turkey were visiting.
Yeah.
And they were watching TV a lot, watching game shows and stuff. And
yeah.
I thought it'd be fun for them to see me on television and also...
I like the link, by the way.
Get some money.
I mean, if you were watching lots of ER, would you want to go like slash yourself so you could go into it?
Well, I had
Other than if my Turkish relatives that I don't have came and visited me in Stoke-on-Trent and I had a thought... I think it would be fun for them to see me on the TV. There's no way I could do that. There's no way I could just have that thought and then place myself on the television.
Well, I did.
And I like that was your train of thought, was that they enjoy watching game shows.
So how did you arrange going on a game show?
Well, they were asking for contestants, and I filled out, I applied.
On the tablet? On the scroll? On you applied?
With the papyrus?
I put quilter papyrus and sent it on. I'm joining in on the trolling. Sorry, Gwen. Yeah. They're encouraging me.
So I applied, and then I had to take the test of general knowledge, and then I had to have like an exchange, like my personality, to make sure I wasn't, you know, crazy.
A dunce, or you know.
And you still got through.
Sure. And I sailed through. Thank you.
So but then you got, what question did she get wrong? Though this is kind of embarrassing.
This is terrible. So I won the first game. I went on to the second game, but the way they tape it, they tape everything. Went to five games in a row. And I'd answered, there's hand signals going on. There's seven questions in a row, and I just panicked. And the question was, where did the Woodstock, what state did the Woodstock festival occur in? And I said the wrong state.
What state did you say?
You said Vermont,
I said Massachusetts, and it was in New York.
But the thing is about it that's embarrassing is Gwen was a hippie in Berkeley in the 60s. So, like, it's like you not knowing...
Glastonbury.
No, but they say you can't remember the 60s. You were in the 60s. Yeah, so, actually, maybe that's a
bit... So, maybe you lived it then. Okay, so I wanted to talk about Parkinson's because Paul, I didn't realize this.
Yeah.
But your grandmother has Parkinson's.
She did, yeah. She passed about 20 years ago, but she lived with it for many years.
Yeah, I want to know, like, how old was she when she got diagnosed?
Probably about 60.
Oh, that's... Mm. By the way, I don't mean to say that's reassuring.
Yeah.
But one thing that's kind of troubled me... Well, there's a lot of things that have troubled me about my mom's diagnosis, but it seems like the people that get it when they're 85,
yeah,
it's just a symptom of old age, and they have it for... it doesn't kind of kill them. They just get shaky. You know, I mean, Parkinson's doesn't kill anyone, but it's a slower-moving disease
exactly
when you're 85 versus when you get it at 60.
Yeah.
It's a faster moving disease. And my mom's obviously in her 60s when she got it. So how long did your grandmother, do you remember?
Well, I think, I was having a chat with Gwen earlier. I think Parkinson's is such a hard disease to kind of diagnose.
Yeah.
Because there's no, other than the obvious shaking, which doesn't develop until maybe a year or two or 3 years on.
Exactly.
It's hard to diagnose. But I was saying to Gwen, one of the symptoms is that you get an expressionless face.
100%.
And I'd noticed that because I've known Gwen for many years. And I'd noticed that sometimes when you're having a conversation
blank...
I thought, she thinks I'm boring.
That blank expression, kind of like...
I'm only joking, but that blank expression. And I'd noticed that. So when
it came out and
Gwen was diagnosed with Parkinson's, I thought,
Well, it made sense. Like what happened basically was my mom... I don't know if you felt like this, if you can remember feeling this about your grandmother, but like... Mm. It was like my mom was kind of slipping away,
right,
and I didn't understand. Like I knew something was wrong, but I couldn't quite figure it out. And she said she'd been tested for Parkinson's. We'd seen the shaky hands, but she said she'd been tested for Parkinson's. So I thought, oh, great. Thank God it's not Parkinson's.
Mm.
But it was just her, like, exactly. She had this mask on her face where I'd kind of say something to her, and she'd go, like, she'd kind of turn delayed and go, like, and it just looked like there was, like, no life in her face. I can't explain it. And it was just, like, she seemed old all of a sudden. Right. And my mom's never seemed old. And it was, like... It was like, and then she'd seem like kind of dazed, or she'd be kind of hunched when she was walking, like kind of shuffling, and just like feeble.
Yeah, Because I think last time we saw, the last time it was in LA, and I think you were kind of, I think you'd slowed up, I think, you know, and so again, that was another thing, I didn't know whether, you know, you'd had you were tired or whatever, but I think, again, unless you know what to look for,
exactly,
you don't know.
You don't know, because you just think, oh, it's shaking, and if they don't have shaking, then they don't have it, but that once the doctor said, I think it could be Parkinson's, before we got tested 2 days later or whatever, when I looked up the, you know, WebMD thing, which is always like the worst thing to do, is I always go and I go, oh, is it cancer? Is it a brain? Is it, you know? But when I read the description of Parkinson's, it was like, oh shit. Because it was every single thing on there. Because I said her voice is a bit weak and she's a bit hunched and she kind of shuffles her feet. You know, all these things I thought, oh, that's just Gwen being Gwen. And, you know, like, oh, well, she's getting old and she's always been clumsy. Yeah. So that's why she's, you know, you kind of don't know. And when I read the kind of outline, I was like, it literally is everything I've witness, and it's such subtle things that if you don't know them,
no, exactly,
it happens before your eyes.
So my gran, she lived for about 20 years with it, and
that's great.
My mum, obviously, like you're doing a lot of research, and now with social media, I think you've had a lot of support from your followers and stuff. But my mum always told me, or told everybody, if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah.
So we used to kind of make my grandma do everything for as much as she could for herself.
That's great.
And we used to sit, and we used to have to be really cruel to be kind, because towards the end, you know, I don't think the medication was as good then, or there was no.
Well, it stops working is kind of the problem too.
And so we used to sit there in the chair, and my gran used to say, "I can't do it," and we used to sit there and just make her.
That's do great. It
and be really kind of
cruel to be kind.
And again, you've just got to keep pushing.
Keep the brain active and keep coordinated.
Exactly.
And was your quality of life, like how long did she have, like would you say, good to decent quality of life?
Well, probably most of it, really. The unfortunate thing was, obviously, towards the end, she fell and broke her hip. And she went and had a hip replacement. And I think they put it in back to front. And they didn't rehabilitate her. Yeah.
She could kick her own ass.
Yeah. So, she sounds like she'd be great on a British TV show. Yeah.
That's what they say about Parkinson's. It doesn't kill you, but you fall a lot.
Yes. And that's exactly. What
it doesn't pneumonia. Kill you, but it doesn't make you stronger.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's something that you will have to be aware of, just the way that you move around. I mean, you're quite active and you sing, but. Yeah, it was just a simple thing, and she fell, broke her hip, and then she had to go into a home after that, and then she kind of deteriorated. But still, she lived for about 3 or 4 years in a home, and used up all our inheritance, which I wasn't quite happy about.
Oh, that's cute.
Isn't it about Gwen, since she's found the right medication to be on, you're the best version of you that I've ever known. I've been in your life for 13 years, and you today, this day, are the best Gwen I've ever known.
But I have to say, I agree. You're like back to the you that I always knew. But it's like, it's weird. You don't realize how far someone's gone till you like have them back. And I'm like,
you
wow.
Feel, Gwen?
I feel great.
Good.
I actually feel great.
You know when you're in the sort of like faceless expression moments and the hunched over and the sort of the shuffling. Did you think something was wrong?
I didn't really realize the extent of it. I mean, it was like Kay kept saying to me, stick your titties out and stand up straight.
Your friend said, stick your titties out.
I said to her, I think she's on the booze. She's back on the booze.
But by the way, I had friends asking me if you were on Quaaludes, if you were high. Yeah. You know, really everyone was...
Is part of Parkinson's not noticing that you've got Parkinson's, or is part of Parkinson's not... Or is it just a Gwen thing where you didn't realize that anything was wrong?
Well, I had there were so many things that were wrong, but I didn't realize they were all tied together. I mean, I had incontinence, which was...
Yes, we know. We are very aware of your incontinence issues.
That was a big problem. That's a symptom of Parkinson's. Right. My soft voice, you kept telling me you couldn't hear me.
I have a question. Is sleeping with lots of people without protection, is that a Parkinson's or is that... Gwen,
I have to give that some thought.
Yeah, give that some thought. Did you just forget to use protection and forget there was more than one person, so you just kept going to different boards?
Do you know what, Gwen? Sympathetic chat we had. It just sort of evaporated.
Gwen, tell me what you do. You can blame the Parkinson's.
We can't go too long like that.
Wait, say that again.
Do you have that in your friend? Maybe that's an English thing, where it's like if it starts to get too emotional, too intense, it's like, divert, go to something funny, it's making me...
Oh, I do that all the time. Like in the darkest of moments, talking about very dark things or dark things happening to me, I just divert, and
it's like a weird reset button when all of a sudden something gets too emotional and too intense for me. It's like, dive right into something funny. Let's fix it. Do you guys get like that?
Yeah, I don't think that's a British thing. I think that's just people, isn't it? Like, oh my God, this is getting too heavy.
Also, do you ever find that on the home renovation programs, I don't know, like sometimes in America, if I watch Property Brothers or something, they're like flipping a whole house for like $30,000. And I'm like, I can't even get a toilet redone in my house for that. Like, do I need to move to Waco, Texas? I know, so relatable. But like, apparently in Waco, Texas, you can buy like a mansion for like £100,000 and do the whole thing up for $30,000. Whereas, like, literally, that costs that much to unplug the drains in this house.
Oh, no. Do you remember Grand Designs? Remember there's that big...
Oh, I love it.
But every time Kevin turned up, the wife got pregnant.
Wow.
Ooh.
Just so... No, I asked them about it on my chat show. I mean, it's fine. But it's funny. Every time he turned up...
They had another baby.
Debbie's pregnant.
With their third child.
Wait a minute. She wasn't before you turned up
and
again.
And why does she look like you?
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to mention the title of some British... TV shows, and you've got to tell me what a brief synopsis of what you think they were about. Okay. Drugs Live.
Drugs Live.
Well, that sounds like something you would have been on in the 90s.
Yeah.
Drugs Live. Do you take drugs on TV?
Channel 4 newsreader Jon Snow tried cannabis.
Jon Snow? His last name is Snow?
Yeah.
Like,
ironic that it's cannabis then.
We've mentioned
that. So you just watch him get high.
Yeah.
And it was just him smoking cannabis.
Yeah.
But why didn't you do that program, though?
It's because it's just cannabis.
There was another show recently where people were smoking pot. What was that?
Well, the one that bus that they went on. Yeah, oh, Linda Robson went on it, where they went
with
across
Linda,
America.
Linda from
Robson. I just
Five Get that. High or Five. Something, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, who's doing the dishes?
I am.
No, it's not. It's not a question for tonight, Gwen. It's what's the show about? What? Who's
I actually seen the show and it is ridiculous.
Who's doing the dishes? I mean, is it a bunch of houses with dirty plates and you decide which family is going to clean up the mess,
or is it bad roommates and one of them doesn't want to do the dishes and the other one gets mad at them for not doing
no those. You go to a celebrity's house and you don't know who the celebrity is, and they do the food and they pass it through the cubbyhole and you've got to guess who it is. The one I saw, it was like a two up two down in Rochdale, and they said, is it Lady Gaga? And it was actually just tapes.
I love that they thought Lady Gaga
so
would
be participating.
So it's
like through the keyhole but with food.
Yeah, it's quite a good
is
idea.
It good?
It's always a certain kind of
person that they can get.
Yeah. Just to Two of Us.
That I've seen.
I love that
I
show.
Love that show. Do you know what that show is, Gwen?
No.
What do you think
Gwen,
it is? Gwen,
is just
give it a
to
stab.
Two of Us.
Give it a stab. Just
it's
to
a
two
road
us.
Trip with two people in a convertible?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes,
nailed
that's exactly
it.
What
you
it
got
is.
It
nailed
exactly
it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a show where, if I get this right, where it's, isn't it Charlotte Crosby from Geordie
Shore
and whoever she's sleeping with?
Yeah, Joshua Richard, the one I've seen.
Right,
yeah.
And then they get, like, it's two friends that come in, or brother and sister, or partner and, you know, partners together, and they have to pick a tattoo for the other person to get, but they have to cover it up, and it's kind of like a revenge tattoo.
I've
so they're like,
it. I have seen it. Obviously, I remembered it.
Oh, it's so
it's
awful.
So
there,
awful.
What's his name? Do like the most awful tattoo?
Yeah, half a cheater on her back because you are. That's what you are. A cheater.
No, I didn't see that one.
Yeah. I did.
Gwen, well, you thought it was two people in a convertible. You seem to have seen all the episodes.
The worst one was the man on all fours on his belly, and he'd done the belly button as his arsehole.
No! Yeah. No! I thought you were like, no, yes.
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 Very good. And, okay, you probably know what this one is. Splash.
I think I've probably been asked to do this show. It's where celebrities dive off of diving boards.
For an extra point, in which town or city?
Ooh. I'm going to go somewhere in the north.
Hmm?
I'm going to go... Birmingham.
Luton.
Wow.
Luton.
Have they asked you to do
I paraphrased some of them because...
Have you been asked to do anything like
no.
that?
No.
I got asked to do the jump too, and I thought, is someone just trying to kill me?
Never
oh, no, no.
The jump.
It was never. It was like a lot of money too, and it was like the season after Beth Twiddle had broken her neck and Linford Christie had... And I was like, I actually don't care what number...
But you know the ratings never went up.
No, they didn't, no.
Every day, someone was breaking their leg.
And it didn't even actually help the ratings.
People like... Meh,
meh. Let me ask you a question. Is there a TV show that you've been asked to do that you would love to do, but you feel as though you're too big to do it?
I would love... In his heyday, I would have loved to have done Big Brother. Me too. Just to see what I would have been like.
The experience would have been like.
But you know, there was one that I got ages ago, which they've sort of tempered a bit. It's called The Farm. 10 homosexuals on a farm.
Stop.
And we have to get voted off. But their dream list was me, Graham Norton, Julian Clary, Paul O'Grady. I mean, that would be
that
such
would have
a
been
scream.
Amazing.
But they wanted 10 gays on a farm and you have to do different tasks and then you get voted off. But I mean, in another universe, I would have loved it if I could. It's like that they asked me to do Come Down with Me. I said, well, yeah, if you can get like,
you
Lady
can get
Gaga
John
and Rihanna
and Elton
John,
yeah,
I'll be
yeah.
there. But, you know, I don't, you know.
No, I know. It is that. We always say that about Big Brother, too. Like, and you, I think, same with The Jungle. You'd go, oh, well, I'd have a go at some of those tasks if blah, blah, blah. Yeah, if Elton John was
but
doing
it. But I said that the other day. I was there on the in the garden with Steve and Justin. And they said, Alan, you know, would you do anything? I said, you know what, I'm a celebrity. I'd really like to give it a go. I think I could. Then this ladybird was there. I was like,
what would be your least favourite thing to do as a task on I'm a Celebrity?
I wouldn't, nothing would bother me. I think I'd be quite
cool.
What about
really?
Jumping out of a plane?
Yeah, ooh. I'd love to do that. I want to go on a skydive.
No.
I'd love to do a skydive.
Dylan will go with you.
Would you?
Dylan.
Let's
no,
do...
Dylan.
Oh, Dylan.
No, Dylan. Dylan would loves he? It. He, right. He'll go by himself even. He doesn't yeah. even... He'd love to.
I'd do it for charity. I wanted to do it with Amanda Holden, but I was too late in...
Did she jump out of a plane?
She did on recently for the...
Did you yeah. ever
would you
see...
Eat, like, the, would you like have the snakes and the thing with you and the rats?
It wouldn't bother
and...
me. It wouldn't bother
really?
Me. Because I know...
none of it. None of it.
They're not going to harm you. You
well,
know?
You don't know that, though.
I've got a foot in, well,
but the snake can bite you. It might not kill you, but it could.
Did you ever see where Davina McCall...
Really?
That's the name, right?
You should go
Davina.
On it, then.
Davina. Okay,
why don't we get... Can we get Paul
I'm
on Scott, I'm a Celebrity?
I'm not a Celebrity, though.
Did you ever see where Davina McCall bungee jumped out of a helicopter over the Grand Canyon?
No.
Did you see that?
No,
wait, what?
No.
Say that
so
again?
She did that TV program, Davina McCall.
Okay.
I'm so tired. That's the proper name, isn't it?
Yeah, Davina McCall.
Okay, yeah. Davina McCall bungee jumped out of a helicopter over the Grand Canyon. She used to do this program where people had to do stunts, and if they did the stunt, they won whatever. But if they didn't, she had to do the stunt.
Oh, no.
She...
Davina, what are you thinking?
Let me just say it again. Bungee jumped out of a helicopter over the Grand Canyon.
Oh,
no way.
Oh,
can
she's
you imagine?
Insane.
Oh would, my God! Did
yeah,
she
I
like
bungee jump? I wouldn't like to bungee jump.
So we found it then.
Now you're backtracking, Mr. Big Billy Bollocks.
They've never bungee jumped on I'm a Celebrity.
They have bungee jumped.
Oh. Yeah, I've seen it.
They have bungee jumped because it's
so,
usually
so
across
you draw the
between...
line at bungee jumping.
By the way, interestingly enough,
it stars for me team, I would.
I see. Look at that. That's such a brave move.
Take a bungee jump for the team.
Look at that. It's quite good. Yeah, I said, but you know what's interesting is I'd rather jump out of a plane than bungee jump.
Right.
I don't know why that is.
Can I just say that bit at the beginning of I'm a Celebrity on the top of that sky rise?
I know. Where it's like wobbling.
Have you seen that? They're on the.
I'm all right with that. I'm all right
bullshit.
With that.
Bullshit. No, on the top of that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm okay with
well,
that.
Like that's like splash without the water. Yeah, that's exactly. Like being a
loser. Without the safe landing. Like, I would love to see, it's like stuff like that. Like, you see where Paul's like, it wouldn't bother me. And Rob's like, oh no, that's fine. I'd actually like to see them do that.
Yeah,
to
they're
see
full of shit.
I
they're
think
full
they're full of
shit.
Of shit.
Oh, hold on. Where have you ever seen me back down from doing something completely dangerous?
Getting married.
Oh, yeah. Apart from getting married and having children, which I eventually did to win stars for the team.
Well, we haven't really tested this theory yet, but I think if there's ever in an alternate universe like a mega celebrity version, we should get you guys to do it just to see if you actually like will eat the bull's testicles and sit in the coffin with the snake.
Is there anything you wouldn't put in your mouth?
Well,
that's how I got into that. So I don't have to now.
So tell you what, Robbie, after your naked tour, let's maybe have a chat about us going in the mega celebrity, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, yeah?
Okay.
Let's do it.
I would so...
Oh, he's nodding again and perhaps shaking
he's
my hand.
He's handshaking again, a handshake of agreement by Robbie Williams, shaking Alan Carr's
this
hand
is unbelievable.
As a binding contract,
I'd do it for the weight loss.
Tell me about it.
Speaking of weight loss, I think we've all burned 3,000 calories speaking today. And the croissants and the butter Beverly took down in the first 5 minutes. So
Beverly the dog.
It's been a very calorie effective chat.
Beverly the dog.
Yeah, as opposed to Beverly the person. Yeah.
No, because I forget sometimes that people don't know Beverly. Oh, Beverly jumped the in dog. A bin and stole
That's
a nappy.
Right.
Like, your friend sounds like a right dirty bitch.
Bev was licking my arse.
Bev.
Oh, Bev. Bev the dog, by the way, for those not listening, Bev the dog is a beautiful Irish setter.
She has
a penchant for raw butter and heavy French foods, and we love Bev, but we had to kick her out at the very beginning.
She did.
She's with Poupette. They're comparing their waistlines right now. This has been so much fun.
Amazing.
I mean, I always knew it would be fun, but you two are the funniest couple we know.
Oh.
You are perennially kind and loving, and every time we have adventures together, we laugh our asses off.
Oh,
and I'm incredibly grateful that you guys came
thank
to do
so
this.
Much
it means
us.
The
Thanks.
World to me.
Yeah,
thank
it's been
you
very
guys.
Nice. Thank
and
you.
And if you need me to reciprocate on anything that you've got going on, don't ask my management, and they'll palm you off.
Yeah, lovely. Thanks for that.
And
that's beautiful.
They'll deflect you. They'll deflect you.
Yeah.
So there you go. I hope you guys liked it. And a big thank you to Alan and Paul for having afternoon tea with me, Gwen, and Rob. Sorry, Rob ate all the pastries. If you enjoyed this episode of Postcards from the Edge, then please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you find your podcasts. Also, if you really liked it, then it would mean the world to us if you could support Parkinson's UK and donate £5 by texting the word NOW to 70500. Your donations can really make a difference to people and families living with Parkinson's. Also, please note that Parkinson's can affect everyone differently and that the conversation I had with Alan and Paul was based around our own experiences. The condition is very complex and there are many factors and subtypes that determine its progression, not just age. To find out more, please contact the wonderful charity Parkinson's UK. You can find them at parkinsons.org.uk. Postcards from the Edge is a Blueprint Pods production. Executive producer Sophie Palak and producer Warren Borg. Postcards from the Edge.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.